Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Unsere Krankenhäuser sind immer für uns da. Tag und Nacht. In ganz Deutschland. Sie möchten mehr zur neuen Krankenhausreform wissen? Dann sind Sie hier richtig. Krankenhaus-mit-zukunft.de. Eine Information des Bundesministeriums für Gesundheit.
Do, 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 do. Ach, what are the lyrics to that? Miller's Son lyrics.
Oh, God.
A Christmas special. Everyone's favorite Christmas song, The Miller's Son. Merry Christmas. From everyone's favorite Christmas musical, A Little Night Music.
Honestly.
There are mouths to be kissed before mouths to be fed, and there's many a tryst and there's many a bed. There's a lot that I'll miss, but I'll not have been dead when I die. Wow. Have you guys heard of The Miller's Son by underground artist Stephen Sondheim?
Up-and-comer Stephen Sondheim?
One to keep your eye on.
One Stephen to watch Sondheim. Steve Sondheim? I don't think I have.
Well, I'm the first person to ever say this, but I think he's really going to change musical theater.
I think he's on to something there.
I think he's on to something. Shoo.
Are you ready? Glee?
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
I have a question.
What's your question?
Do people like... Wait, we should introduce ourselves first and then I'll ask my question.
Great, okay. We should sync up first, then introduce ourselves.
Fine.
Then ask questions.
Fine.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, Synchroni, Christmas edition.
Yeah, it's like with jingle bells.
I'll throw some jingle bells in there. Oh, we have to introduce ourselves first.
Yeah.
Hi, Merry Holidays. I am Ian Allred. I'm so happy you chose to join us this holiday season. A Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, a Happy Kwanzaa, et cetera, to you and yours from your Covering Gleek family. Mm-hmm. I am half that family. My name is Ian Allred, and I am a holiday gleek.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you lift up your tongue and spit comes
did
out
from under
it.
Did you see me gleek?
No.
I just did.
Did it taste like peppermint? Because that's how you know it's a holiday gleek.
Let me take a picture of my computer so you can see I freaking spit all over it.
It was on command. I say gleek and it just comes out of you.
No, I can gleek on command. We've talked about this before.
How? Is it like immediate? Like you could just throw your tongue
so
back?
So I usually have to yawn to do it. I don't know how that like activates it, but I think it just like softens my soft palate. And then it just like pops out.
Did it just happen? It's not picking up on camera because it's so small, so I'm taking your word for it.
Well, I'll send you a picture of my computer so you can see that it happened. It's important to me that you know this.
I went through a really weird phase in late elementary school, early middle school, where I wanted to gleek on command, but I can't. So what I would do is I would stick up my tongue like this, just like stick it out and close my lips around it. And I would just sit there until all the moisture had left my tongue, like fully sit with my tongue out for like 4 to 5 minutes until it was bone dry. And as soon as I opened my mouth and stuck my tongue back in, my body sensed that my tongue was too dry and I would immediately like super gleek. Super gleek. He's super gleeky.
Well, hey, what's up, you guys? Happy holidays. I'm the other half of your family, like your mom's side of the family or something. And I'm also a part of the cousin group that you go on the special walk with on holidays, if you catch my drift. I am a gleek. My name is Lena Knatzer, if I didn't say that. But I'm the cool cousin that takes you on the family walk first. Heck Lena yeah. Second.
Heck yeah, I'm like your like your uncle by marriage or like your cousin's you're husband.
You're totally my uncle by marriage.
Who like has a job that doesn't allow him to be at most family gatherings. So you ever see him like once every 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And he kind of still thinks you're 10 years old because he hasn't really got a lot of time to get to know you. Yeah. And like, you know, he cares about you. And so you have like some affection in your heart through the fact that you're related, but you're also like, we don't have a personal connection. And this is a little awkward every time we see each other.
My uncle, he's like my cousin's husband, who is like that person to me. They're like, you know, that age. He still calls me Lena Lee Blonde. Like, I got an Instagram. Honestly,
good for him.
I know, when I was like 13 and he thought that was so funny. So he called me Lena Lee Blonde. And now I see him like once every other year and he's like, hey, Lena Lee Blonde. And I'm like, oh my God, what's up, Uncle Joe? His name is not Uncle Joe. His name is just Joe. Shout out to Joe. Supportive
uncle. I'm looking at your picture of your spit on your computer.
See?
I don't know why. I don't know what I was expecting. But for some reason, it like really took me aback for a second.
Why?
I was just like, oh my gosh. Saliva on a computer scandal. Okay. What was your question?
Have you seen two questions? Have you seen Love Actually?
No.
Okay. Rest my case on that one. Second one, do people like this episode? I never know when people like episodes anymore. The other day I saw a TikTok that was like, someone was sharing their favorite episodes of Glee and they shared that Glee's was one of their favorite episodes of Glee. And I was like, am I just like tremendously out of touch?
You know what? Who cares? Shoot, if people feel differently about this episode, cool, write into us or start your own podcast.
Wait, do you like this episode?
I like this episode.
I really like this episode.
Yeah.
But I was looking at even the IMDb scores, and it's one of the lower scored ones.
I mean...
And I was like trying to like size up my opinions on it, and honestly, I feel like this episode does all that I want a holiday episode to do.
Yeah, and like I would not... If someone was like, favorite Glee episodes of all time, go. I would definitely, like, Glee Actually would not come to mind for me.
I couldn't even have told you what happened in Glee Actually before, like, I mean, 2 days ago.
Spoilers, I literally will never forget Quinn dying from texting and driving. That, truly, I've seen this episode one time before yesterday, and that has never left my mind, because I was like, even when Diana's not on the show anymore, they can't stop just absolutely bullying her character. But like, I don't think it's an all-timer. I don't think it even touches Journey to Regionals. I don't think it even touches Sectionals, but I think it's good, and I agree. Like, as far as holiday specials go, I had a good time. It had some fun songs. It had feel-good moments.
I honestly think it's one of my favorite holiday specials.
I like it more than season 3, I think. But yeah. I think I like season 2, A Very really Glee like Christmas. I think I like that one more. But I do, you know, maybe I'll have to watch them back-to-back, but I think I enjoyed this one more than I liked season 3's.
Extraordinary Merry Christmas.
But I mean, dang, that song's a bop, and I wish it was in this episode.
Well, I got love for that episode because Marty Noxon wrote that episode, and she's my girl. So I gotta support my queen where I can. But yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. I would say is it my favorite holiday episode so far? I don't know. I feel like I have a skewed holiday attitude sometimes. And I don't know when I'm ever even going to like the holidays, but I don't know. Something about, you know, being in New York and, you know, seeing Bert, I'm going to cry, like, show up to be with Kurt was just so sweet. I'm crying. I love Bert. Anyway, so yeah, I really
another controversial opinion.
I know.
We're really hot takes, you guys. Yeah,
you guys.
Stephen Sondheim is talented. Don't come for us. And Bert Hummel is, I know. Like, I know. Please, honestly, I know all of your like angry emails are going to come at us for saying this, but we're brave enough to say it. Bert Hummel's a good dad.
Yeah, I love Bert Hummel.
Shoot. Sorry. It's our opinion. We're allowed to have it.
I love Verhummel. I was really excited to see him. And I forgot that he was... Well, obviously, I didn't know anything about this episode. Well, obviously, I had seen it, but I didn't remember anything. So seeing him, I was like, oh my God, Bert! I'm not going to cry. And I did. All right. Do you want to talk about this episode? Like, officially?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's kick things off with, I don't know, maybe some Glax. I'm just thinking about it. Yeah.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's time for the Glax.
Glee, actually, is the 10th episode of Glee's fourth season and the 76th episode overall. It premiered on a very special someone's birthday. Can you guess? I'll tell you the birthday.
Because it's not you or me.
Well, it might as well be.
Is it Rachel Berry's?
No, Rachel Berry's. Well, I'll tell you the date first. How about?
Okay. Now so I'm going to feel bad if I don't know who it is.
You should. Well, it premiered on December 13th, 2012.
Who? Can you hear that siren?
Yeah. That's the cops coming to find you because you didn't remember Taylor Swift's birthday.
Oh, I don't feel bad about that. I don't feel bad about that. I thought it was going to be like someone that we were close friends with and I was going to be really
I'm giving you shit. It's Taylor Swift's birthday.
I know Rachel's is December.
It's like 17th or something.
December 17th, 1941, a day that will live in infamy. December 18th.
I was very close.
Oh, also, Pearl Harbor is the 7th, right? Not the 17th.
I don't know.
Pearl Harbor is the 7th.
I know that was like a real event, but I mostly remember the movie because I have a traumatic experience involving that movie. Do you want to hear it? It's kind of funny.
I do.
So I remember a friend was telling me about the Pearl Harbor movie before we had watched it. We were going to watch it that weekend. And she was telling us all about it. And we were sitting in like my, you know, like the under the stairs closet. Like we would always like hang out in the under the stairs closet at my house for some reason. It was just cool. We called it our like hangout spot. And she was describing the movie to us. And, you know, there is sex in that movie, but we were like,
some parachutes, baby.
Seriously. And she was describing the parachute sex. But because we were like 12 and Mormon, she was like, and then in the parachutes, they have SEX. But my dad had opened the door right as she said, and they had SEX. And I spontaneously combusted. I was so embarrassed. Isn't that so funny?
That is very, very funny.
Anyway, but this episode has nothing to do with Pearl Harbor. It has everything to do with this is Taylor Swift's special birthday episode.
There is that weird Pearl Harbor vignette. Did you get that? It's so weird. We're just like, Joe has a dream sequence like Artie where he just like learns about World War II. He's like studying for a history class and he's like, I'll never remember what made the U.S. get involved in World War II. And then he has a dream sequence where Matt Rutherford comes in and says, hi, I also haven't been on the show for a while. And Joe says, who even are you? And then he
says, who even are you?
Exactly. And then he teaches him about history and Joe gets an A.
Oh, I'm glad. Well, good for Joe. It must not be in my version on my TV, but...
Ryan Murphy sent it to me personally and he said, this is for being the best Gleek. Happy holidays.
Well, maybe next year. XOXO
Ryan.
Oh, that's so interesting. Did you respond?
No.
Well, if Ryan Murphy ever reaches out to me,
I'm ghosting him.
You have an obligation to bully him.
That's true.
All right. After this episode, there was a winter hiatus, and the next episode premieres at the end of January, on January 24th, in the new year. Interesting enough how time works. 2013.
Wait, what day was that? Was that the 24th?
January 24th?
Yeah. Do you know that's? Do you know whose birthday is January 24th?
Yes.
Frankie Grande. I just looked that up.
Like Ariana Grande's older brother?
Yeah. What a small world.
How fast you got? How did you Google that so fast?
I was the fastest typist in Mrs. Buckley's fourth grade class, I'll have you know.
Is that a reference?
No, that's a fact. I was the fastest typist in Mrs. Buckley's fourth grade class, and I'm still proud of that fact.
That sounds like it should be in, like, that sounds like it should be in, like How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Like, Hedy LaRue comes in and goes, I was the fastest typist in Miss What's-Her-Face's fourth grade class. That's interesting. I mean, that's an interesting fact about you.
Just another similarity between me and Hedy LaRue. The list gets longer every day.
First, your measurements. Second, you both amazing typists. The fact
that we have the same accent. That we both say poisonal.
Third, you always write in longhand rather than shorthand. It makes no
Fourth,
sense.
The fact that I'm sleeping with a man who's in his 60s and is married.
Good for you!
Girl boss. Working my way up in the world.
That musical is wild.
I love that show.
I know. It's back too damn long.
That's true.
Okay. Let's keep talking about Glee, maybe. So... Yeah. Maybe not. This episode was directed by Adam Shankman. We know Adam Shankman. We love Adam Shankman. Adam Shankman worked on so many fun, amazing things. Namely, So You Think You Can Dance, Hairspray the Musical, the movie.
Oh, bless him.
And Once More with Feeling, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer musical.
Yay!
Big fan of him. He comes back every once in a while. We love him. But this episode was written by Matthew Hodgson. Let me tell you a little bit about the songs. Okay. So up first, we've got Feliz Navidad, performed by Artie Abrams with the New Directions. But the New Directions from an alternate timeline. So crazy. So fun. Oh my God.
Dr. Abrams and the Multiverse of Madness. Seriously. In theaters this Friday.
In theaters this Friday. My See gosh. You there, you guys. And then we have... White Christmas, originally by Irving Berlin, but it's specifically the Michael Bublé and Shania Twain version, performed by Blaine and Kurt. And then we have Hanukkah, Oh Hanukkah, and it's a traditional, you know, Hanukkah song, but it's specifically the Bare Naked Ladies arrangement of the song, BNL. I love BNL. Performed by Jake and Noah Puckerman. There's actually, this scene is super fun. It is shot on stage 14 of the Paramount Pictures lot, which is actually where Glee is shot. That's super fun, super exciting. And there's a bunch of fun cameos in this. One by, you know, savior of the podcast. We know him. We love him. It is our, what's his face? What's his name? I never remember anyone's name. I'm a terrible person. My literal savior. I don't even remember his freaking name. I remember it now. I had to find it on my notes. Zach Woodley is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Where?
He's standing by the other one, Ian Brennan.
Okay. I was so distracted by Ian Brennan's lion mane that I did not even catch that Zach was next
I didn't
to him.
Either. I had to go back and look at it again. But Ian Brennan is there. This is Ian Brennan's second cameo. Do you remember his first cameo?
No.
So Ian Brennan also... So Ian Brennan makes actually a lot of cameos on this show. He always announces the nude erections. And he played Sven Goebbels in On My Way.
He was one of the hosts.
The vampire in All My Way.
Honestly, good for Sven Goebbels. He has now worked his way up to directing a Paramount Pictures gangster movie.
Yeah, honestly, that movie looks cool. And then we have Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helms, performed by Sam and the Cheerios. The First Noel by Davies Gilbert, performed by Marley Rose. This song was actually performed live on set that day. They've only done that with a couple of songs, and this one that they did live on set.
She sounds Incredible.
Well, yeah, she is amazing. And then we have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas from the cat from Meet Me in St. Louis, performed by Kurt, New Directions, and Noah Puckerman. You know, all those peeps. But that's specifically who they list. Very interestingly, Wiki. I guess they're not in the New Directions anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense to me, I guess, then. Let me tell you about the rest of this. This is the first and only holiday episode without the word Christmas in the title. The others being A Very Glee Christmas, Extraordinary Merry Christmas, and the next one is, spoiler alert, Previously Unaired Christmas.
Buckle up for that one, everyone.
This is the last canon-themed Christmas episode, so get your fixins where you can. There is a flickering holiday lights on the Glee logo. I love when they do fun things with the Glee logo. So, oh my God, we've got also a bunch of fun cameos in this episode as well. Two, namely being Terry Delmonico is here. The first time she's been here since the episode Funeral in season 2. And then we also have Rory Flanagan is back. His first time being back since Goodbye. And this is actually his last appearance in the series. Damon McGinty, I really love you. I'm going to say it here now. I'm going to declare my love publicly for you. I love you, Damon McGinty. Glee Wiki wants you all to know that both Terry and Rory's return in this episode are not in the real world. They are actually in the alternate world. So don't get your timelines mixed up. They're not actually here.
Yeah, so Rory and Terry are not in this episode. What are you talking about, everyone?
Yeah. Who's Peter Parker? And then, Vanessa Lange's obviously isn't in this episode. She also wasn't in the last episode. And it's because she stars in a web show called My Music as a character named Loco. And so she had prior obligations with that. I don't really know anything about that YouTube series, but I hope it was fun for her. I hope she had fun.
I hope they utilized her better than Glee did.
I know. This is actually the third time we've seen Sue soften up for Christmas, even though she talks about how much she hates Christmas every time, which is interesting. We've only really had 3 Christmas episodes, and she softens up every time. So proof is in the pudding. Proof is in the figgy pudding, Sue Sylvester. I love myself. This is a 5th episode containing wordplay with the word Glee in its title. I know Ian is obsessed with these. Let's name a couple of them. So we've got a Rocky Horror Glee Show, A Very Glee Christmas, Saturday Night Gleaver, and you know it, you love it, my favorite, Glees.
The best one. I don't know. Saturday Night Gleaver is probably better.
Yeah, I think that one's my favorite.
But Glees, I don't know. Glee's might be better.
It's just not.
That is an inspired pun.
It's just not. Chris Colfer has been quoted as saying that ice skating with Darren in Bryant Park was one of his favorite Glee Christmas memories. And I guess it took like hours to shoot White Christmas. They ended up filming like all the way through the night, and they were still like actively skating like at like 3 and 4 a.m., which is soups crazy. Glee Wiki is so funny. They literally like are freaking sleuths with this episode. I swear sometimes they have like no information about any of the episodes, and then sometimes they have like way too much information. So I'm not going to read everything here, but I do think it's funny to note that they have literally every single like thing that because Artie isn't in his wheelchair, this is what this means, this is what this means, this is what this means, and they have like the entire timeline like mapped out. It's really funny. They're like,
it's so because this it's because it's setting up the future of the MCU with
that's
the multiverse.
Yeah, no, and I
have
and
you
I get
you've
that.
Seen those like new Rockstar videos on YouTube that it's like, this new trailer just dropped, here's 26 Easter eggs you didn't notice, and here's what it means for the future of the Marvel universe.
And that's what this is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's good for you, Glee Wiki.
Really funny. Like, it is the biggest, like, glack I've ever seen in my whole life. And it's some of them are really funny, too. Like, they're talking about how they don't understand. Like, I don't know who's writing these, but I want to talk to him. They're like, it's very interesting to me. Where is that one? That they don't understand how Mike would have been in, like, the group of bullying jocks. Because they're like, no one graduated. Like, Mike was always getting good grades.
Like, what about Artie Abrams being in the Glee Club made Mike Chang graduate?
Yeah.
And he would be held back otherwise.
Yeah, totally. I don't know. Pardon me. But yeah, that's really funny. So if you're ever, you know, looking for something to read, it's a full novel, so it'll take you some time to read it. There's that on Glee Wiki. This episode got a 2.0 rating with 5.26 million viewers. This is the first and only Christmas episode to date where Rachel doesn't sing. And actually, this is the first episode in the season where Rachel appears but doesn't sing. So she, you know, isn't in one episode, but she doesn't sing in this episode. So that is something to note. But she does make a little appearance.
I mean, she got two full songs last week. So, like, my goodness.
Honestly, yeah. That is something that is interesting about these later episodes is, like, yes, it is the Rachel Berry wish fulfillment stuff, but also, like, she fully wasn't in an episode a couple episodes ago, and she didn't sing in this episode.
But also, it's so noticeable when Rachel isn't there.
Yeah.
Unique wasn't in this episode, and no one's saying crap about that.
No, totally.
Like, for other characters, that's so normal to just not be in an episode or not sing for multiple episodes, but it's front page news when it happens to Rachel because she is always just being shoved down our throats.
And that's true. Like, there's no note in here about where Alex Newell was during filming of this
episode. If we theorized a few weeks ago, Alex Newell was in some movie that came out like pretty early 2013 called like National Geography or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they were missing from, there was some episode that they weren't in. Oh, Dynamic Duets. And we were like, oh, well, maybe it's because they were filming for this movie. And Alex Newell has been missing so much that I wonder if that is true.
Yeah.
Maybe. Geography Club is what the movie's called.
Geography Club.
If they were just filming this movie during fall of 2012, so they kept having to not have Unique in episodes or have Unique in an episode for like one scene and then not for the rest of the week.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I've got two Glacks for you left. Nope, actually just one. Well, one of them is they want you to know that next season they're going to maybe do other stuff with this alternate timeline, I guess, that they've opened up. We'll see, I guess. Do you know what I mean?
What?
Just spoiler alert for next season. They're going to... An alternate universe episode aired in 2013 named Previously Unaired Christmas Special and depicts different events from those that really occurred in this episode. So, do you know what I'm saying? That's what that says here.
Yes, but it's not the same alternate timeline,
yes,
though,
it is.
Right? Because in Previously Unaired, the Glee Club exists.
It's this one.
Okay.
Because remember, Artie gets back in the chair. I'm messing with you. But
that's
you
why
know,
this episode
another,
ends.
I'm just
it fades
a
to
joke.
Black. It fades to black and it says, the black and white Glee Club will return.
Yeah.
And that's setting up Previously Unaired Christmas Special.
Yeah. I'm just making a joke about how, you know, they're opening up the timeline that they, you know.
They punched a hole in the multiverse.
Timeline.
I get you. Yeah. Okay. I get you.
All right. My last glact is Sam's proposal to Brittany marks the second time that Sam has proposed to someone. Both of the girls being Cheerios, both of the girls being blonde. The first time was to Quinn in Furt. Obviously, it wasn't like an official proposal, but it makes, you know, he got down on one knee and gave her a ring.
I literally forgot that happened.
I didn't. I literally, he did it and I said, well, this guy really wants to get married. And now those are your clacks.
Heck yeah. Thank you for those clacks. All right. Feliz recap, ba 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 ba. Feliz recap, ba 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 ba. Feliz recap, prospero episodio y felicidad de ese episodio de Glee. That was weak.
Totally. I was literally just going to say that. I was like, wow, that was weak. For sure.
I couldn't come up with one to say. It kind of fell apart. Okay, so we're going to do a recap now. Happy holidays, everybody. Here's what you missed on Glee. It's the holidays, and the Glee Club is celebrating in five vignettes. Artie wishes he was never in a wheelchair, but through a dream sequence, learns the club would never have existed without him. Bert and Blaine fly out to New York to surprise Kurt. Bert tells him he has prostate cancer and says you have got to hold the people you love close to you no matter what. The Puckerman brothers celebrate Hanukkah in L.A., but end up going back to Lima on Christmas Day to have dinner with their moms, who bury the hatchet. Brittany and Sam worry about the 2012 Mayan apocalypse and get married by Coach Beast, only to find out afterwards the ceremony was a sham. Sue gets Marley's mom and the faculty Secret Santa, and, after overhearing that they have to spend all their money this year on a therapist, ends up funding their entire Christmas and therapy sessions. The Roses thank her by having the Glee Club sing her a Christmas song in the auditorium. And that's what you missed on Glee!
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
I need to, before anything gets done, really quickly, just map out how long it would take to do a road trip.
Oh, I already did it.
You already did? Well, yeah. Great. I'll close my tabs.
That was my absolute first thought was Puck is traveling in a motorcycle from LA to Lima. Let me open Google Maps. That is a 34-hour trip. And Puck goes from LA to Lima, picks up Jake, goes back to LA, and then Jake says, actually, we should go to Lima, goes back to Lima. Mm-hmm. Three times he makes that 34-hour trip. Mm-hmm. If we are being generous, he is taking 2 days. And that means that he is driving like
through the
night, 16-hour days.
Yeah.
So at the least amount of time, these are 2-day trips, which means he spent 2 days to go to Lima to have one conversation, then spent 2 days to spend 1 day in LA, and then 2 days to get back to Lima in time for Christmas.
Terrible. And not to mention, like, I feel like I've never traveled on a motorcycle before, but I feel like it would, like, I don't know, take a toll on your ears. Do you know what I'm saying? The pressure of that would be just very difficult, especially in a sidecar. Do you see how that kid was sitting? His, like, knees were, like, up to his eyes. Mm-hmm. It's not comfy. Hold on. Sorry, I'm just making sure people are texting me and I'm making sure they're not dying.
I should have said capítulo in that song instead of episodio. Wow, this is embarrassing.
Wow, yeah. I was just thinking, you should have said that.
I know, I saw you write down a note. You said, Okay, use the wrong word there.
And that's absolutely what I do, is I, when you do things, I write down what you should have done.
Lena's always taking notes, and at the end of every podcast, she texts it to me and says, okay, well, here's
how. Could you imagine? That would be so rude. I literally don't even want you to joke about that. I don't even want you to say those words. That makes me upset.
Oh, yeah.
All right. How do you want to talk about this episode? Should we just go vignette by vignette? I think we should just go,
vignette by vignette.
Perfect.
Let's hit it up.
Well, we already know that we both like this episode, so I hope other people like this episode. I think it's fun.
That was a holiday prank. I think this episode is stupid, and I think that anyone who likes it has no taste.
Listen, if that was actually a real holiday prank and you were pranking me and saying you didn't like something and then, like, pulling the wool over my eyes, I would absolutely cry.
No, it's a mean prank. That would be so rude.
All right. Should we start with Artie?
Heck yeah. Artie Abrams in the Multiverse of Madness.
Honestly.
Okay. Cool. This is probably my favorite vignette well, yes, of the episode.
I knew it would be because you love when an angel rings a what? A bell rings, an angel gets his wings. You love that movie.
It's a Wonderful Life is, I've mentioned this before on this podcast, my all-time favorite Christmas movie. One of the only movies that can make me cry every time I watch it. So a Glee vignette that is an homage to It's a Wonderful Life. I am so absolutely in. I do not care.
Totally. Absolutely.
Also, a reappearance of Roy Flanagan is so incredibly out of left field.
But honestly, I feel like he's the one who makes the most sense. Like, I couldn't imagine it being any other person. And I just think it's so sweet.
That's true. Because if it was any actual Glee Club member, it'd be like, well, why aren't you like in this fantasy as yourself?
Yeah. Like if Mercedes was doing it, I'd be like, what the heck is Mercedes doing here? Give her a plot.
I mean, if Howard Bamboo was doing it.
Oh, that I'm would be fun.
I'm all
honestly,
in.
That's better.
Artie would be like, who are you? Canonically, we have never met. But as an audience member, I'm in.
Yeah, so Howard Bamboo would have been better, but I'm really happy that Damien McGinty is here. I think he, honestly, I was watching him today, when I was watching the episode, I was like, he deserved better. He deserved better. I love you, Rory. I love Rory. I don't care. Like, maybe I'm just remembering him fondly, and then we watched the Glee Project, and I just, like, have such a fondness for Damien McGinty as a person, but oh my gosh, I was so happy to see him.
I was happy to see him. I love Damien McGinty. I do not share that sentiment about Rory.
Sure.
But I do love Damien McGinty. I think he's a huge sweetie, so I was such glad to see him back.
Yeah, and a fun way to see him back. Mm-hmm. This vignette is so crazy, mostly because like the time I was like, well, the timeline doesn't make sense to me because it's like supposed to be now. But also, for some reason, no one in the class above has graduated at all other than Rachel ? And Quinn died. It's just so wild.
Hey,
and honestly,
Santana
like,
Mercedes got out of there. Good
oh, they
for them.
Did. Honestly, good for them. Good for them. But honestly, like everything is so off the wall. And I like that they give a nod to at least like Kurt not graduating. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, so, you know, something is up here. Like it's so off the wall that I kind of dig it and I don't really care actually. You know what I mean?
Yes. I was like, taking notes about all the stuff that was inaccurate, where I was like, Mike would have graduated.
Who are you, Glee Wiki?
Will should have become an accountant. He should not still be at school, all this stuff. And then I was like, this isn't the point of this vignette. No. The point of this vignette is not accurately what would the Glee Club have been if Artie was never a member. Yes. The point of this vignette is to do a fun tip of the hat to whatever that movie is called, It's a Wonderful Life, which... As someone who is like that movie's biggest fan, there are a few things in like the world without George Bailey where you're like, that doesn't really check out.
Yeah.
Like you're telling me that Mary never met anyone else and was also so incredibly miserable because George was never born. Sure.
Sure. It's a lot of credit for George.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. Like putting a lot of her value on who her husband was. And then also, like, you're telling me that Harry Bailey died because George wasn't there to save him, even though the only reason that Harry Bailey was ever in a life-threatening situation is because he was hanging out with George. So if George didn't exist, Harry would have never gotten in that situation in the first place.
Totally, for sure.
I put a lot of thought into It's a Wonderful Life.
And I hear you.
So, like, I absolutely do not believe that realistically Rachel Berry would have not chased after her dreams. Yeah. But I think it is hysterical to see Rachel Berry as, like, Mary the spinster. And she's this librarian who's, like, so miserable and hates her life.
Yeah.
I think it's very funny.
I also think, you know, even to, like, justify any of it, which, frankly, I don't think it needs justification. I think it's just fun. Mm-hmm. It is also Artie's dream. Like, it's not an alternate timeline as much as we'd love to say it is. Like, it is just Artie's dream. And, you know, that's Artie's world. And, like, you know, and I think the sentiment is still there, too. Like, I don't think there's, like, a need to, like, go too deep into it. That's, like, this world is better with you in it. This world is better with you the way, well, and that's not, and that's obviously the sentiment of It's a Wonderful Life, but the world is the way it is because of the way you are, and the way you are is, you know, good and awesome and amazing. And I love this plot. I think mm-hmm. it's very sweet. And I like that it's arty, and I really like the stuff with him and Finn as well, like pre and post like dream sequence. I think it's awesome. I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah. Also, so good to see Terry again.
Oh my God.
Even though she literally has two lines.
I love her. And the idea, oh my God, let's talk about Terry for a second. The idea that she is still like playing Will about this like fake baby, and she's carrying around a doll, and she's like, shh. I love.
Well, the fact that she says, he's so drunk, he can't tell the difference.
I love Terry. I love Terry. I think Terry's the best. But also, oh my God, Quint dies of a broken heart.
Here's the deal. I do understand everything we've said so far, and that Quinn dying is supposed to be a direct parallel to George finding out that Harry died.
Yeah.
Because like that's the big thing that makes George decide, like, I want my life back. Yeah. This isn't worth it. Actually, it's Mary, but
for sure.
That's ridiculous. So I get it. But just the image of Quinn's wheelchair memorialized in the hallway, like they just keep it there as in memory of this girl that passed away. No one's allowed to move it. And then also already pointing out Quinn wouldn't have gotten in that car accident because she was going to Finn and Rachel's wedding and they wouldn't have gotten married.
Yeah.
And Rory saying Quinn texts and drives in every timeline.
That
Artie.
Is so fucking funny to me. Like, bring it back to Doctor Strange. Like, he always gets in a car accident.
Seriously,
in
like,
every timeline.
Quinn texting and driving is a Nexus event.
It's like, a Nexus event. That's so fucking funny.
Like, in every universe, Quinn has to get in a car accident because she's responding to a text message.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be undone no matter how hard you try.
Yeah.
You can use all the dark magic you want, Doctor Strange. It's still going to happen.
So funny. Can't wait for Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's that. That's that whole vignette.
Also, this is just an observation. And once again, it's a reference to It's a Wonderful Life. It is. And it's a dream sequence. It's meant to be ridiculous. But the way that Kurt speaks in full exposition to Artie, where Artie's just like, Kurt, didn't you graduate? And a normal human would say no and walk away, especially to someone they don't know mm-hmm. or someone who bullies them.
Yeah.
And instead, Kurt says, I should have, but because of the bullying, I couldn't bear coming to school more than twice a week. I got held back because of all the homeschooling.
Well,
no one offers that much information up willingly
especially
to a stranger.
To their enemies.
Seriously. Crazy.
I do. People stop me on the street and I give them my entire life story. Even mm-hmm. if I know in my timeline they've heard it before, or if they're a stranger, or if they're my worst enemy, I would tell them.
That's my mentality. Every time someone asks me a question, I give them as much context as possible because you never know who is a stranger and who is someone who is a really close friend of yours in an alternate timeline who has been dropped into this timeline and is trying to figure out how your life is different now.
Or some people are just tuning into this episode of my TV show, the Knatzer show. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I gotta make sure that they know.
Previously on.
Absolutely.
You're never going to grow your audience if you're just like constantly gatekeeping what has happened on your show.
Totally.
Like constantly ostracizing people who missed the last, years of episodes.
Absolutely. Like, it's just not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And who can remember? So context is key.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, Kurt's he's doing his civic duty.
I know.
Good for him.
I know. So fun, so exciting, so cool.
I do love the little, as after Artie's woken up and he realized it is a wonderful life, blah, 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 they have the little reference where he hits the bell on the Christmas tree as he's walking out and it rings. That's nice.
So nice. The nicest.
And then Finn says, look, Artie, teacher says that every time a bell rings, an angel gets its rings.
Probably my favorite part of the episode.
And then Artie kisses him and he says, that's right. That's right. And then he looks at the sky and goes, attaboy, Rory.
Thanks, Rory. Can you tell I've seen It's a Wonderful Life one time?
Wow. You should watch it again.
Why?
Because it's okay. Really good.
I'm sure. All right, cut to our kids in Brooklyn. They're hanging out. Rachel's about to leave to go on a Christmas cruise with her dad's, the Rosie O'Donnell gay cruise. That's everything to me. I love that family. I want in on that family. That is so funny. I love them. I want to go on that cruise. So cool. And then Bert shows up. Oh my gosh, so amazing. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this plot?
I think this plot is very sweet.
I think this plot is sweet too.
This and the Sue plot are definitely like the heart of the episode, which I love a good holiday episode that is like equal parts hijinks and heart. Mm-hmm. And you know, Bert and Kurt is such a wonderful relationship on this show. And we haven't seen, I don't think we've seen Bert period since the new Rachel when he dropped Kurt off at the airport. Like we have not been seeing a lot of Bert this season. So it's good to see him again. However, can these writers let my man rest?
I know.
He has cancer now. Like, his wife died. His son got so bullied and got his life threatened that he had to spend his honeymoon savings on sending his son to a different school. He had a heart attack, and now he has cancer. Like, what has he done to deserve this?
Nothing. He is the best man on earth.
My gosh.
This plot... Is this plot my favorite? Maybe. I don't really know. I'll tell you at the end which plot was my favorite, I think, once we've talked about them all again. Mm-hmm. But I just like seeing... like seeing him walk through the door after like the terrible time that like Kurt has had recently with all the stuff. And then having like this awesome... The stuff, oh my gosh, meaning like the stuff with him and Blaine. Weirdo. I don't know why I said it like that. And then like him like getting into Niata, like just lots of big life changes. And like, you know, him deciding not to go home and then homecoming to him. I was like, oh my God, I'm so emotional. I'm so like, so sweet. I just love Bert so much. I love this plot. And even Blaine coming in, I think is super sweet. I know that it's theorized a lot that, like, Blaine must not have, like, a great home life, especially with his, like, you know, like, him being here for the holidays. And people have theorized a lot about that, and I think that absolutely makes so much sense. And so having him here, I think, is very sweet. Like, he, like, you know, gets along with Bert and he gets along with Kurt, and I just think this little family is so sweet even for what it is. And I love like the melancholiness of this plot as well, that like there's this like feeling around it that's like these two people are still like kind of at odds with each other but love each other so much. And then there's this other like looming plot that's like, you know, a family member of yours being sick and like wanting to like hold the ones you love close. And I just think that is like, you know, a feeling that everyone has over the holidays, that like that melancholiness, that like everything is so joyful, but it's also like there's that sadness there too. You know me. I love sad Christmas. So I think this plot was very special.
Mm-hmm. No, this plot is very beautiful.
Yeah.
These writers certainly will not even pretend like Kurt and Blaine are not going to end up back together.
It's a Nexus event that they get married.
Truly, Nexus event in the world. Quinn gets in a car accident, Clayne gets married.
Yeah, which like I'm fine with that.
The way that like every person in Kurt's life is like going behind his back trying to get him back with his ex. I mean, frankly, I kind of have to admire it. Maybe they should like talk to him and find out what he really wants, but the effort is admirable.
I know. It is admirable. You know what made me emotional too? When Kurt and Blaine like meet up and Blaine was like, I'm your present, but also I know everything and I promise to keep an eye out for your dad. Mm-hmm. Aren't you sobbing? I'm sobbing.
Yeah, and I love those kind of relationships of people, which I mean, this is not the path that Glee is taking. Glee is just like, we're going to shove these two boys back together. But I love people who are like, we recognize that for whatever reason, us together wasn't the right thing. But like, I still see who you are as a person and really care about who you are as a person. And you feel the same about me. So like, we still have each other's backs.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that that kind of relationship is so special. I do think that like, you probably need some more time apart than Kurt and Blaine have had since their breakup to like really get to that space with someone.
Yeah.
But I do like that representation.
Totally. Oh my God. They're both such good ice skaters. Are you a good ice skater?
No, I never ice skate because when I was a kid, I was always scared that I would fall and then someone would skate over my fingers and they would get sliced off.
Interesting. I feel like that, I hear that. So you never have in your whole life?
No, I have. I skated probably 3 times in my entire life.
Okay. Honestly, I feel like that's a reason. Like, not, I don't think it's ever... That feels like a fear that I feel, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I would certainly get that thought in my head and be like, I gotta get off the ice. I'm a terrible ice skater. So no. The last time I went ice skating was like a prom date. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm never doing this again. I was just like so bad at it. And I'm just so, maybe you relate to this too. I'm so tall. It's such a long way down to fall.
Yeah, it hurts to fall from this height.
Yeah.
You can't bounce like, back.
I know. And I'm like an adult now. So like when I fall, I get hurt. You know, it's not like when I fall, I get back up. When I fall, I like bust my knee.
When I fall down, I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. It's like when I get knocked down, I kind of have to sit there for a little bit because it hurts. And then I just like slowly get back to my feet.
Yeah.
You know? Was that anything? Should I keep that in my type five, everyone, or do you think I should cut that one?
I literally, what? I'm getting like half of what you're saying.
No! That's why that joke bombed. It wasn't because it wasn't funny. It was because of the internet. I'm logging that away. I refuse to believe anything different. Yeah, they ice skate. They're very good ice skaters. They sound good singing White Christmas. Do they ever show their feet when they're ice skating? Like a full body shot?
Well,
I truly don't remember. Because I know that movies love to lie to us about people ice skating. And they're actually just on a little platform that's being dragged around by the camera.
I actually don't know that we've got a full body shot. But I'm almost certain that it wasn't faked because it didn't look fake. Do you know what I mean?
I have no idea. Yeah.
Like, and there were like so many people around. Let's Google
it. The people around, you know, were ice skating.
Was
but like
the ice skating in Glee real? Well, I just found a behind the scenes video of people ice skating, so I know it's real. It's Adam Shankman and Darren Criss.
Heck yeah,
and,
good for them.
Chris Colfer, and they're all really ice skating and ice skating really well. I just texted that to you. But they're all really ice skating.
Couldn't be me.
I know. Literally, I was thinking that. I was like, if I was like in a show and they were like, you need to ice skate, I'd be like, well, I guess you gotta find someone else. Fire me, I guess. No, I'd try my best. I feel like in order to be like a good like skater of any kind, I've even thought about like rollerblading and like roller skating. You kind of have to like conquer your fear of falling because you're gonna fall. And I don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I can like roller skate half decently.
You can.
Ice is just scarier to me.
True. And you could get your fingers sliced off.
That's why.
Yeah. What if you wore gloves?
They could still slice through gloves in my mind. I know that also like the bottoms of ice skates are like not that sharp, but that doesn't, my brain doesn't care.
No, I know what you mean. There are like, every time I like walk by a subway grate, I'm convinced that I'm going to fall through. So I try not to like walk on them very often, even though like I've never fallen through or seen anyone fall through.
I have.
Nuh-uh. You have?
No.
Okay. Don't mess with me.
Sorry.
What's the next plot here?
All right. Up next, we got the Puckerman brothers.
The Puckerman brothers.
In three seasons of holiday specials. In a show that has two incredibly prominent Jewish characters. Mm-hmm. This is the first time we have ever gotten a plot line about a Hanukkah. So thank goodness that actually happened.
I really like this plot. I do. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it just baseline. I just think this like even unlikely quote unquote family coming together and finding like solace and love in each other is just very sweet. Like the two moms, like finding a common ground, the two brothers, like, you know, searching for like this brotherhood and like finding it in each other. And like, and then even Puck, like, moving to Los Angeles and being miserable and being like, you can't meet anyone here. You're stuck in your car all day. It's just so funny. And him, like, trying so hard to impress Jake. And then, like, Jake being like, let's just go spend it with our moms. Let's go home for a minute. Like, you don't have to impress me. Let's go hang out with our moms. I just think is, I love this plot. I think it's very sweet.
I like this plot a lot on paper. I love the Puckerman brother dynamic, and I love everything you said, and like the moms at the end having, especially Puck's mom, always having hated Jake's mom because mm-hmm. like that's the woman her husband left her for.
Yeah.
And them essentially bonding over what a terrible man he is yeah. is very nice.
Yeah.
I just, in execution, I wish it was funnier. And sure. a lot of it, I think, frankly, comes down to Mark Salling not being a very good actor.
Well, I think like that's been the truth.
Yeah, because there's like a few things in this show, in this plot line that I'm like, oh, this is funny. Like Puck and Jake at this beautiful mansion and Puck talking about how he lives there. And then you find out that it's actually the house of someone he cleans the pool for and they came home early.
Yeah.
Like that all should be very funny. But it was not funny to me. And I think it's just because he, you know, he just doesn't have great comedic timing.
Yeah.
Also, I love Hanukkah, them like driving around the Paramount lot. I think it's so fun. These like weird three Vegas showgirl extras who like are in somehow everywhere.
Seriously, how are they walking so fast?
Literally are walking as fast as this golf cart they're on. They're everywhere they go. I wish that they had added, I just think this would be fun, personally. I do think that, like, what this number is already is very fun. I just think this would have taken it to the next level, because clearly Puck is not supposed to be on the Paramount lot, and he's clearly lying about all this, and they're disrupting all these movie shoots. I wish that they had added, like, the Paramount security trying to chase after them. Oh, that it was, like, yeah. them getting to a new spot of the lot and singing and everyone having a good time, and then the security would show up and they'd be like, oh, time to blast! And then yeah. they'd, like, go on the golf cart, go somewhere else. I just think that'd be fun.
That would be personally. Fun, you're right. Personally. Yeah, no, that would be fun. Yeah, that would have been
That's
fun.
That's all my thoughts. Also, nice that the writers remember that Puck has a little sister. I was honestly shocked to hear her mentioned.
It was mentioned? I was yeah. literally like, where's the little sister?
Puck says, Jake says something about like, well, if you're so miserable in LA, why don't you come back to Lima? You could write your screenplay everywhere, anywhere. And Puck says like, I just, you know, if I go back to Lima, like my mom's going to make me go to Breadsticks on Thanksgiving and my sister's going to be hanging out with all of her Christian friends.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, good. I'm glad totally that you remember that she exists.
Talk about Mark Salling's acting for a little more, but there was the moment where like Jake and Puck were talking about like how miserable he is in LA. Like I obviously really like that scene. It's just, you know, I think it's, you know, classic, like you just graduated and you're like doing your thing and it's like harder than you anticipated. But mm-hmm. I was like, oh, if someone walked in on me watching this show, like in this scene, I'd feel a little weird. I was like, oh, Glee is kind of weird. And I get where people like maybe don't like it.
I just think he's bad.
Yeah.
I just think he does a bad job.
I think he's bad.
So many times, like, Puck lines work in spite of his delivery. It's like the line is so well written that it's like bulletproof and anyone could deliver it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Up next we have the Britney and Sam stuff.
Heck yeah. Wow. I love to see. I forgot that this happened. Mayan apocalypse representation on this TV show.
I was so scared of this apocalypse. I remember my like basement had flooded like maybe a month or so before it was like supposed to happen. And I remember sobbing like this is fully 2012. I'm like, how old was I in 2012? 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Like, I'm fully like 15, 16 years old, crying. And my mom being like, Lena, basements flood sometimes. Like, it's okay. And I was like, we're good. It's done. I was so scared. Anyway, so.
I threw a whole party.
I know you did. You told me about it.
We played zombie games. No one was allowed to use electricity. Mm. Honestly, one of the best nights of my life. December 21st, 2012 was a great time for me.
Happy to hear it. Happy to hear it. That was a pretty rough night for me. I was pretty good.
Very sorry.
Things were going to be bad. But luckily, we made it. Woo! Mm-hmm. I think I saw like the commercial for the movie and it just looked scary to me. And I think that's what I was mostly afraid of. Like, I didn't know anything about like any of the... like the lore about anything or like the history of anything. So I was like, I think I was just basing all my fear on like the commercial of the movie that I saw. So
one of my like early panic attack memories is seeing that trailer in theaters, seeing the trailer for War of the Worlds in theaters and seeing the trailer for 2012 in theaters both sent me into a panic attack in a movie theater as a kid.
I remember I went and saw the third X-Men movie with my family. And that movie came out like, I don't know, like 2004. So I was little, like probably like 8 years old. And I saw a commercial for like something like Antichrist-y. And I didn't grow up Christian. I didn't really know anything about it.
Was it The Omen?
It may have been. But it was like, I remember it was like this lady talking. She was like maybe a maid in the house or something. And she was like, it was like at his birthday party. And then she, I don't know, said something spooky. And it was just like a really scary commercial. And I remember not remembering any of X-Men because I was too scared of that commercial that we had saw.
Heck yeah.
I love that. I love scary movies now. I think scary movies are the best. But something about a commercial that you saw when you were young, like scares you more than anything in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. How did you feel about this plot?
I love the Mayan apocalypse representation. I do stand by the fact that this is not the Sam Evans that proposed marriage to Quinn Fabre.
Yeah.
Like, they have altered this. He was always like a bit of a himbo.
Yeah.
But they have like so incredibly changed this character to make us believe that he and Britney are on the same wavelength. Mm-hmm. But that aside, this plotline is very fun. Like, although this is new Sam, watching new Sam and Britney tell their loved ones what they really think about them and give away like expensive gifts because they think they won't need money anymore and get married is all very fun to me.
Yeah, I agree.
At a good time.
I agree. I like this plot. I think it's certainly not my favorite. Maybe I would say it's my least favorite. But that being said, I like them all a lot. Mm-hmm. I love Britney going down the hallway with all of these gifts, like a 2-week vacation to Saint-Tropez, like a brand new car, a Rolex. And she's like, I cashed in my savings. And I said, how much money do you have in savings?
You're 18.
Like, college is expensive. Let's theorize you have college paid for. A Rolex, a 2-week vacation to Saint-Tropez, and a brand new car. That's just what we saw.
Wild.
That's just what we
absolutely
saw.
Wild.
Oh my god. So oh good my for her. Gosh. So good for her.
Britney Spears may be dumb with math, but she is smart with finances.
No, totally. Maybe she like invested early, like in something yeah, like she's really actually, lucrative.
Yeah, she invested in like Facebook.
Yeah.
And so now it's freaking 2012. She's a billionaire.
Totally. Good for her. Honestly, good for her to like get that wealth back circulating in the world too. Happy for her. Mm-hmm. I love
she's
Britney.
She's giving it back.
I love Britney. And I even love like the message of this plot, quote unquote, that is like, tell the people you love them. Like, mm-hmm. don't just do it because you don't have you're nervous about the time left, but do it because you can. And, you know, you also are never guaranteed time. So
shower the people you love with love. Tell them the way that you feel.
Yeah, totally. And also insult them to their face and say, Tina Cohen Chang, why are you pursuing acting?
We have to talk about this.
Oh my God.
So Britney and Sam call a meeting of the Glee Club that's called the Mayan Apocalypse Club to tell them how
they
really feel about them.
It's also the last meeting.
The first and last meeting. They're going to tell them all how they really feel about them. First up, they say to Tina, acting is a pipe dream for you, and your decision to pursue it as a career is both shocking and irresponsible.
Yeah.
Then they say to Joe, you haven't really made an impression on me, and I don't really know what your deal is. And then everyone gets up to leave, and Marley says, we're not just going to sit here and let you bully us. And Britney says, oh, I was actually going to tell the rest of you how I really, really, like, how much you really mean to me. This scene, out of the context of everything we know about Glee, is frankly so incredibly funny.
It's really funny.
The line, acting is a pipe dream for you and your decision to pursue it as a career is both shocking and irresponsible.
Cutting. It is rude. It is rude.
That stuff, like, on paper is so, so funny.
Yeah.
And so, like, I have complicated feelings about the scene because I recognize that it is so funny. But I also recognize that I think this is the writers talking to these actors.
I know.
Like, Joe, you haven't really made an impression on me, and I don't really know what your deal is. Feels like the writer's essentially being like, hey, Samuel Larson, we truly don't know what to do with you on this show. Mm-hmm. We can't figure out what your deal is, and you haven't made as big of an impression on us as, you know, Alex Newell, which is why they keep getting plot lines and we just shove you in the background. Mm-hmm. And then it feels like them coming after Jenna Ushkowitz and being like, we don't give you more to do on the show because we don't think you're a good enough actor. And that's gross.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It like took me out. I was like, oh my God. But you're right. The scene is very funny, but I don't know. I feel like I always have this, this show was very much tainted for me, especially the more I learn about it, where I'm like, mm-hmm. like, no, it's not just a TV show. Like, you know, these writers are like essentially at war with these actors and with the people watching the show. And, you know, it's just, it's not as like fun and happy as I ever want it to be. So crazy. So crazy. I love when Britney says to Marley, I actually wasn't going to say anything mean to you. I was just going to tell you how much I like you. And I love this like attitude that everyone has towards Marley. Like, and it's usually in jokes that like Sue and like Britney say, or like offhanded comments people make, that like people just can't help but like Marley, where it's like, she is just like so sweet and so lovely. And everyone like has like lovely things to say about her, that it's like, she's essentially, I think, and it's, to me, I was thinking about it last night, it's like the writers making her the opposite of Rachel, where like people have like, there's always something about Rachel that people don't like, but Marley is the opposite, where there's that thing about her that you do like. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's an interesting character trait to give her. And I think it's funny when Sue and Britt like make jokes about it. And I just think it's interesting. What do you think?
I agree with everything you said, and that I think that is like Marley's whole deal. And I think the jokes are funny, where it's like people can't help but like her.
Yeah.
I will say, I know a lot of people really, really love Marley, so this is probably just like a very personal take. Hmm. And also, like, there is stuff I like about Marley, and I genuinely think Melissa Benoist is phenomenal. Like, yeah. I think Melissa Benoist does such a great job. For me, the Rachel versus Marley, what you just said about how no one can ever find anything bad to say about Marley and people can always find something bad to say about Rachel, illustrates to me personally why stories are so much more interesting when the characters are flawed.
Totally.
Like, flawed people are so, like, having a character that their whole deal is that everyone likes them, to me personally, is so uninteresting.
Sure. Yeah,
as
totally.
Opposed to someone who is, like, deeply flawed but trying. Yeah. That's such a more compelling story. And I think that is kind of, like, where Glee fumbled the ball with the newbies.
Sure.
Is it wanted to create a bunch of people who the audience would like instead of a bunch of people who were flawed.
Yeah.
And then the majority of the audience actually didn't like them because they were uninteresting and they lost a bunch of viewers.
Yeah, I hear you. I really like Marley. And maybe that's because they're, like, making me like her, but I think she's awesome. I think Marley is very sweet. And I think, I don't know, I agree with what you're saying, especially, like, I love Rachel. I do. I'm a Rachel girl forever. And, like, everything about Rachel I find, you know, not everything, but, you know, especially, like, early seasons Rachel, I think, is just very relatable. Like, I understand what it's like to be that, like, young, over-eager girl. I, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, like, with Rachel right now becoming less interesting, the show is also trying to pretend like she's less flawed. Mm-hmm. The show is trying to be like, Rachel's incredible. She's taking over Niada. Everyone loves her now. And that's what's making us be like, totally. Okay.
Totally.
Which I do also want to acknowledge. I recognize that Marley is, like, super shy and super awkward and super insecure. And those are genuinely very relatable.
Yeah.
Character flaws. I truly am not trying to come at anyone who really loves Marley. I think that's a very valid perspective.
Yeah.
Another thing in this plot, I like the fact that Coach Beast agrees to marry Brittany and Sam simply because they know that if they say no, Sam and Brittany will just go to someone else. So they're like, cool, I'll just pretend to marry them and then tell them after the fact that it was fully a pretend. But I especially love in that scene during their wedding vows, Sam says, he says, like, something very nice to Brittany about how, like, he always knew that she was, like, super cool and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And then it goes to Brittany's vows. And she says that she didn't pay much attention to him at first. And then, quote, it wasn't until you did a rich little impression and then told me it was a rich little impression and explained to me who Rich Little was that I knew you were special.
I know, that made me laugh. I love these two. I think they're sweet.
All right, well, that's Bram and the Mayan Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye.
And last but not least, Secret Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us your thoughts.
My thoughts? I love this plot. I mean, you know me. I love Marley. I love her mom. And I love when Sue, is nice. I do. Mm-hmm. And I really like this plot. I think it, like... I think people sometimes forget that, like, recovery and, like, getting better in therapy is something that, like, costs money sometimes. So it's like, you know, sometimes, I don't know. It's just like, you know, Marley has this, like, drive to want to get better. And, like, she's talking to her mom. And it's just like, it's one of those things where it's like, recovery is a long, hard process, and it's also an expensive one. And so it sucks that, like, this family doesn't get to celebrate this holiday they love to celebrate because, you know, recovery is so expensive. And I really like this plot. I like this plot a lot. And I like Sue realizing she's got, you know, more than enough stuff and, you know, giving to someone in need and her seeing someone struggling and helping. And I also love, like, you know, I just think Marley and her mom's attitude about it is is really beautiful too. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're just, I just think they're lovely people, and I love seeing their life, and I love seeing them interact together. And then Marley sing a song for her mom. Just, I love it. I just think it's sweet. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this plot's great. It's, you know, it's the exact, like, saccharine heart thing that you need to anchor a holiday special.
Totally, yeah.
And man, Sue is truly a Christmas turncoat, as you said at the beginning of this episode. Every Christmas, Sue puts up a big stink and then does some big grand gesture. I mean, it's effective. Mm-hmm. Every time I'm like, oh, that's sweet. Okay.
Yeah. And I also, I honestly like this line a lot. Maybe it's silly, and maybe it's the rioters remembering just every once in a while that Sue is a mom. But Sue going to Marley's mom and being like, I know, like, you know that I know, like, being a single mom is hard. So, like, you know, you can take this gesture. And I just think that was sweet. Literally, too.
That came out of her mouth, and I wrote my notes. Oh, yeah, Sue has a baby.
Which she literally held her baby 2 episodes ago. Why are you forgetting?
And yet I still can. I always forget that Robin exists. Yeah. Constantly. I think this is my favorite Marley Millie dynamic so far in the show. I think their relationship is very, very, very sweet in this episode. And the way that, like, Millie is talking, her name is Millie, right?
I think
Mrs.
so.
Ms. Rose. The way that Millie is talking to Marley about how, you know, we don't have money for Christmas this year, we have to get you a therapist, but does it in a way that is, you know, not like guilting Marley or like shaming Marley. It's very sweet. It's very nice. And then the way that she's like, well, if you want to get me a Christmas present, sing me a song.
Yeah.
I love all of that.
Yeah.
Also, just some other random thoughts about this plot line. I love that they have stuck with Sue de Soleil, that when we see Sue with the Cheerios, they're still practicing all the circus acts. That's very funny to me. And of course, when Millie walks into Sue's office and says, I just wanted to say thank you for what you did for Marley and me. Mm-hmm. And Sue says, I have no idea what you're talking about. I had nothing to do with the making of that film.
I also love when Sue says, you're not going to take me into the auditorium where the Glee kids are going to sing me a song with snow falling all around, right? And Millie goes, ooh. And then Sue, just like the biggest eye roll I have ever seen in my life, made me laugh, laugh, laugh. It was so funny. And then she goes, this is exactly what I depicted. So funny.
Glee actually.
Honestly, a pretty, you know, feel good holiday special to me. I really enjoyed it.
Truly, I don't ask much from holiday specials.
Yeah.
Just that they're fun and heartwarming. Yeah. And this episode had both, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
I also appreciate the framing device at the beginning of Sue journaling, where they essentially just spell out what the idea for this episode is. Mm-hmm. Where she's journaling about, like, oh, Christmas is so annoying. Everything's like that movie Love Actually. The magical season when 5 seemingly separate storylines are cleverly sandwiched between commercial breaks and then tied together at the end like a beautiful bow.
So funny. So funny. So awesome. I love it. And I think Love Actually is so genius. And really, like, I don't know. Maybe they didn't pioneer this, but in my head they did. Maybe I'm wrong. But just, like, the idea of, like, a bunch of vignettes tied together is, like, such a fun, especially holiday episode idea. And it really set off an entire genre that is good. You know, I enjoy it every time. Valentine's Day, I enjoyed it. New Year's Eve, I enjoyed it. Mother's Day, didn't see it.
That's a sneeze and rap on Glee Ashley. Let's do, for Christmas, we have like a fun holiday tradition here at Recovering Gleek. We bring it out every year. People know it. They love it. They're like, oh, it never feels like the holiday season until we get to hear our Recovering Gleek holiday tradition. It's something we like to call best part, worst part.
Doom, doom, doom.
Best part, worst part.
Boom. Lena, ho, ho, ho. What's your best part?
What is my best part? I don't know. I like this episode. I think maybe my best part is, Honestly, the scene where Marley and Millie find all the Christmas gifts and then Sue and Becky are in the window looking in, I just think it's very sweet. And Marley going, maybe we should still call the cops. Like, someone broke into our home. I think that scene is pretty sweet. So I'm going to say that part's my favorite part. What's my favorite song? Maybe White Christmas. Oh, shit. I didn't even talk about Bert. Bert's my other favorite part. And just that whole, that whole stuff. I'm giving, it's the holidays. I can have what, calories don't count on the holidays. I'm having two. I really, the stuff with Bert and Kurt and like Bert telling, telling Kurt about his diagnosis and, you know, just the whole, you know, you gotta, holding your loved ones close in the holidays was very sweet to me. And yeah, I just really love that part. So yeah, ho ho ho, Ian Allred. What is your favorite part? What's your best part? I forgot what the stuff was.
Thank you, Santa. Ho ho ho. I think my best number was Hanukkah. Oh Hanukkah, come light the menorah. It was just very fun.
Yeah.
And honestly, those three showgirls were really carrying that number on their backs.
I know, seriously.
Good for them.
You guys, for real, go back and watch that. They're working hard.
They are. Dang. I hope they got their SAG card from that. My best part is the Terry Schuster cameo. I've missed her so much.
Yeah.
And her just being a gaslight gatekeep girl boss by fully lying to Will and pretending that they have a baby when it's just a baby doll. I miss her on this show.
I know.
I miss the show that Terry Schuster fit into so much.
Totally.
Ho ho ho. Let's really give this a try.
Yeah, come on.
Hello, my name is Ian Allred, and I will be auditioning for the role of Jolly Old St. Nicholas. Ho ho ho. Now I'm embarrassed.
Ho ho ho. Now, you little girl, what was your worst part of this episode?
Oh God, Santa, thanks so much for asking.
You're welcome.
What was my worst part of this episode? That I don't have the kind of savings that Brittany does. That really made me jealous.
Or the kind of savings that Puck does to spend that much money on gas.
Honestly, I'm like, yeah, of course. Honestly, even... He could definitely, I'm organizing my thoughts really quick. He could certainly afford that house in Beverly Hills that they were staying at with the gas bill he's paying.
For
also,
real?
I'm not entirely sure how motorcycles work, but I'm pretty sure you have to fill them up more often.
I don't know.
Because the tank is like this big. I don't know. I really enjoyed this episode. There's not a lot that I didn't like. I think it's very sweet. Maybe the writer's taking digs at my friends. Probably that's my worst part. So, Ian, what was your... Oh, wait, sorry.
Oh, embarrassing, honestly.
I forgot that I was auditioning. Ho, ho, ho. You little boy, what was your worst part?
Yes. Well, Santa...
Should I say this as a child?
No.
Well, Santa, my worst part was probably... the Puckerman brother storyline, and not because it was bad, because I think this episode is honestly pretty good, but because I just don't think the acting was very good and it kind of ruined it for me a little bit.
Honestly, ding. Valid.
Ding. Yeah, that's, I love Hanukkah, Hanukkah, as I mentioned, but yeah. Besides that, I kind of zone out during that vignette because I just...
You're like, this is the time I go on my phone.
Truly. Well,
all right.
Hanukkah,
do you
want to
sing a Christmas
Hanukkah.
Song or a holiday song?
I guess. Man, what do we even have left?
We don't have to.
No, we should. I just didn't think about it. And now I'm like, I can't do ones I've already sung in the past, you know? I'm going to sing a Christmas song from everyone's favorite Christmas musical, A Little Night Music. I'm going to sing Send in the Clowns.
Perfect. So good. I'll sing Miller's Son. Let's just put on the show.
For Christmas, we are putting on Stephen Sondheim's Christmas classic, A Little Night Music. I'll give you a real answer, though. You know what? This isn't a song I can sing by myself. So I'm going to like call in the big guns. I'll call in you and two other Glee Club members. Let's see. You're a soprano.
I'm the big guns?
Let's see. Who's going to be the alto? I'll call in you. I'll call in Brittany S. Pierce. I'll call in me. And then the baritone, I'll call in. Who's a baritone in this club? Jake? Is he a baritone? Mm-hmm. Probably. I'll call in Jake. And we're going to sing Snow from White Christmas.
Oh, fun.
I like that song a lot. But it has to be a quartet because the fun of that show is, in fact, the harmonies.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I'm doing. What about you?
I'm going to sing. So I'm imagining myself in this plot. And maybe I'm like in a Kurt situation where I'm also, I don't know, I'm just theorizing. Like living in New York, and it's like my first 6 months there, and it's been really crazy. It's been really weird, and like I'm feeling sad around the holidays because I'm always sad around the holidays, and I'm away from home. So I'm singing "I Want to Come Home for Christmas" by Marvin Gaye. I love that song.
Yay!
Yay! That's what I'm singing. Woo! All right, that's the episode, y'all.
Well, I hope everyone has a great holiday season. If you're traveling home for the holidays, I hope you travel safely. Mm-hmm. If you're not traveling home for the holidays, like our boy Kurt Hummel, you know, I hope you can still, you know, have some peace and be surrounded by people you love this holiday season. And maybe go see Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah. A big holiday.
Guaranteed to be a Christmas classic for years to come. I know me and my house, we're going to be watching It's a Wonderful Life, White Christmas, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness every Christmas from here until I die.
Mm-hmm.
If you have thoughts about Glee Ashley, email us. If you want to tell me, if you want to say that you did not like this episode, email us. If you want to tell me that my take on Marley was bad, email us. recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Please be nice about it, though. Also, follow us on social media. Our Twitter is @recoveringgleek. Our Instagram and TikTok are @recoveringgleek_podcast. If you want to support this podcast, if you want to support this podcast, we would love it if you rate and reviewed us on Apple Podcasts. It helps get the word out, helps us get more listeners. If you especially want to report this podcast, and like Brittany S. Pierce... If you especially want to support, this podcast, and like Brittany S. Pierce, you have a whole lot of disposable income, then we would love it if you subscribe to our Patreon. Our Patreon has a lot of bonus content on it. If you're in our highest tier, you get vlogs every other week. Also, everyone on our Patreon gets bonus episodes every month. We dropped an episode talking about Glee fan fiction a week and a half ago that you can check out. And if you're one of our highest tier patrons, you also get a special little holiday shout out at the end of our episode. And it's a Christmas miracle that time has come.
All right, you guys. Happy holidays. If I don't say your name correctly, please don't feel bad if you correct me. Please don't. You don't need to apologize. You deserve to have your name said correctly. There's just so many of you. Love you all. Here is a special holiday thank you brought to you by this YouTube video called Jingle Bells, 1 Hour Christmas Song with Lyrics 2021. I hope it's just Jingle Bells all over and over and over. It might not be, actually. Wait! Jingle Bells, 1 Hour. This is what we're doing. Ready? Here we go. Here's a holiday thank you to Jackson Tory.
Glink.
Don't speak. I thought it would be, I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, this won't have words for sure. Dang
just
it.
Just look
okay.
up like Jingle Bell sound effect.
Okay.
Jingle what did I, because we've stuck it in the episode before. What did I look up?
Well, I wonder if it's just sleigh bells, jingle bells, sound effect. Okay. I think this might be what I want. Okay, here we go. Special holiday thank you to Jackson, Tori, Golly, Caitlin, K. Katie, Maddie, Abigail, Kodiak, Kirsten, Annie, Story, Natasha, Liz, Eileen, Mariah, Manuel, Mallory, Sarah.
Are you freaking kidding me? I just want this to work.
Where was I? Manuel, Mallory, Sarah, Amina, Hannah, Matilda, Rebecca, Libby, Eve, Jordan, Andrew, Elizabeth, Christina, Dell, Sarah, Ari, Liam, Riley, Juliana, Stephanie, Haley, Raphael, Marissa, Rin, Taylor, Kimberly, Emily, Carlin, Frankie, Dana, Chase, Finley, Jocelyn, Margaret, Despina. Turn the page. Turning the page. Sarah, Josie, Nash, Aaron, Alana, Marin, Hannah, Phoebe, Kaylee, Caitlin, Megan, Rachel, Emily, Aria, Jeremy, Beatrice, Eva, Haley, Emily, Anaya, Michelle, Lauren, Audrey, Marcus, Lisa, Forrest, Jacqueline, Spencer, Elise, Troy, Mallory, Meredith, Phoebe, Hannah, Laura, Ray, Emily, Alyssa, Charlie, Lily, Melanie, Yanula, Sam, Samantha, Sam, Jennifer, Aubrey, Stephanie, Kat, Kelsey. Turning the page. Ho, ho, ho. Haley, Tiffany, Emily, Leah, Kaylee, Isabel, Amira, Thomas, Chucho, Cyrus, Brittany, Victoria, Aaliyah, Naomi, Haley, Robbie, Andy, Kenzie, Rhiannon, Ashley, Roman, Tara, Michael, Casey, Andre, Katie, Will, Elizabeth, Freddie, Sinead, Emma, Turtle, Allison! Happy holidays!
Happy holidays! May your every wish come true, you all. My special holiday wish is that you guys have an awesome week. I hope everything is awesome for you guys. You deserve it. I'm really happy that you all are here. I'm really happy that you're in this world. You make our lives better, and I love you. So here's a special holiday kiss from, oh my God, it's not me, it's from Santa, if you accept.
Oh, Merry Christmas to all, and to all some holiday glee.
Bye, holiday Santa. Glee. Thank you.
Bye, Santa.
I love you.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Have you watched Heartstopper?
No. Sure. Do you think I have free time for anything?
No, I don't, truly. That I realized that as soon as it left my mouth. I saw someone, here's the deal. You can never win with adaptions because everyone always has something in their head and it will literally never match
anyone else's ever.
Exactly. So like, no matter what, something will not be how you pictured it and you'll be pissed. Literally, and I don't know a lot about the Heartstopper comic, everyone. I've never read it, but I was like looking up stuff about it last night and looking up stuff about the TV show. And from what I can tell, the casting directors like painstakingly were trying to get actors who like looked enough like the characters.
Yeah.
And they were trying to also like get actors who identified as the character they were portraying, all of this stuff. And I still saw comments that said, I just wish Charlie's hair was longer. Like, you guys.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You're going to have to let it go.
I know. Well, I read a book a couple weeks ago that her eyes are like very specifically supposed to be like robin's egg blue. And then the guy that she ends up with like paints his walls that color because he like likes her so much. And people in the, they had a movie and she had green eyes and everyone lost their minds. And literally the writer of the book was like, they can paint the wall whatever color her eyes are. Like, it does not matter.
I would so much rather see someone give a good performance than someone have the same color eyes as what the book says.
I know. And I think it also, like, sometimes in worst case scenarios, I think it, like, gets racist, too.
Mm-hmm. Like when they cast a black girl as Ariel and everyone was like, she doesn't have red hair. And it's like, is that like, important to the plot?
Free, guys, no. For real. You know, I think it very much matters in terms of representation sometimes. Like, you know, I've read books where like characters have been like plus size and they've been cast as like thin women before. Mm-hmm. And that's been upsetting. So I understand the sentiment there. But I think like, I don't like the eye color, hair length. That's so silly. That's so like, trivial.
Let's take a deep breath, everyone.
I know.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.